Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, movie fans. You are tuned in listening to Black Geek Movie Talk. We're doing a surprise show. It's Monday, December 26th, and we're coming at you live from Los Angeles. I am your host, Yolanda, and I'm here with my regular co-host, Elise.
Hello.
Yes, so it's a surprise show today. Travel plans, it's crazy time. Everything's going awry, and so today we're actually going to be talking about not just one, but two sci-fi fantasy films. Hello. So, Elise, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's talk about, you want to talk about Assassin's Creed first?
Sure. So, Assassin's Creed... starring Michael Fassbender and Marion Cotillard. It's based on a video game of the same name.
Yeah.
Directed by Justin Kurzel, Australian bloke who actually made a kind of interesting movie, Snowtown, and then he also did Macbeth with Michael Fassbender. Written by Michael Leslie, Adam Cooper, Bill Collage, three people.
Okay.
And so it basically, Michael Fassbender plays the descendant of a member of an ancient society of assassins who battle the Knights Templar. And he is a criminal who is recruited by the Knights Templar to retrieve the memories of his ancestor. The Knights Templar are trying to get an artifact that would control free will and ostensibly squash any type of dissent and, by extension, war and violence. And Marion Cotillard plays a scientist working for the Knights Templar. Yep.
Okay. So I'm just going to make the declaration right now that this is not going to be a spoiler-free show because these movies have been out for a few days. And especially for this one, because it's based on a video game. Now, I don't know how familiar people are with the video game. I don't know how far away from the original the movie gets, but this is not gonna be spoiler free is the point I'm making. So let's talk about Assassin's Creed. Let's just go right for it. What, if anything, did you feel was positive about this movie? And if there was nothing that you felt was positive, was that a surprise to you? Like what I'm asking is, work into your answer. Also, how, your feelings going in, your expectations. Did it, you know? So did it live up to your expectations? Whether they be good or bad?
Yeah.
Or you know what I'm saying?
What
did you feel?
There were some good things. Yeah, good thing. Okay, the action sequences were pretty cool.
Yep.
Pretty kick-ass.
Okay. Yep, yep.
And that's what I was looking forward to. That's what I expected.
I
was looking forward to this movie. I thought it was going to be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was a great cast.
Yep.
You know, I was kind of surprised that Michael Fassbender, well, I guess not that surprised, but, you know, it was nice to see, like, serious actors kind of taking on a more more light, kind of fun popcorn holiday movie.
Right,
So, yeah, I mean, so in that regard, like, the action sequences, that all lived up to watching Michael Fassbender, that all lived up to my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Those were good things.
Yes. And I will say, I agree with you on both those, all those counts. You know, I too was looking forward to this just because, you know, I didn't know too much about the video game. Looked, you know, kind of from the commercials or the trailers for the video games you see. I had no idea what it was about. Just that it looked like kind of cool. And, you know, Michael Fassbender playing the lead. And when they released some of the early photos of him in costume, I was like, yeah, man, I'm on board. And it's, you know, Christmas time movie. I was like, yep. And so, and so it lived up to, you know, those aspects of what I was looking forward to. I will add, in addition to the actors that you mentioned, the action sequences, I also really love the look of this, like the overall look of it, especially when they were going back in time. That's like right up my sort of alley in terms of, like, for some reason I love that kind of, I don't know what you would call it. So this is taking place in like 1492 Spain. It was just, you know, really lush and gorgeous and mysterious and, you know, that Eastern kind of, you know, all of that. Very, very cool. I loved, loved all of that. Is there anything else? Okay, so, I also loved... talking more about the actors and the cast, I loved the other group of assassins in the the present day. Like, I loved the cast of people that they surrounded Michael Fassbender's main character with. And I can't call their real names right now, but, you know, there was like... there was an Asian lady and there was a black guy and then there was a younger white guy. And I enjoyed them. And it made me actually want to see a part two if they were going to do a part two. Right. I'd like to see some, you know, them incorporated more involved in the story. I want to see a little bit more of them highlighted and featured if they were to do a second one. Was there anything else that stood out for you positively before we move to Negative Town? Oh, boy.
Let's see. stood out positively. Yeah, the look you said, yeah, definitely the costumes were very cool. I would say the costumes when they're in the past. I would add that caveat. As opposed to the, you know.
Nothing else?
I think that's pretty much
that's pretty much it. I'll add this. I can't recall it right now. But I remember while we were sitting in there thinking, I like the score. This like sort of adds to the feel of where we are without being annoying. I thought that whoever did that music, I liked it. That was good. Okay. And now we're going to move into Negative Town, but feel it anytime if you want to bring up something else positive that you can, but Negative Town.
Okay.
What would you say for you was the biggest negative? The big one.
Oh, geez.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I don't know if it was like one particular thing. I just remember watching it and thinking, this is silly.
No.
There's some machine. It just seems so implausible. There's a machine that plunges people into the animus and somehow they know the dates, the exact dates that they need. Fassbender's ancestor. I mean, why go through the motions? So he goes back several times and it was like, why not just go to the that
right.
one day?
Point
if they knew the date,
yes.
right.
Yeah.
Just go to
yeah,
that
yeah.
one day and
yeah.
find out what the hell happens to the thing.
right.
And then
okay.
kill him and be done
right.
with it.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to go? And then
can I interject? Will you remember your next point if I interject? I'll tell you why. Because then they couldn't have gotten all the cool action sequences. you have to have the cool action sequences to lead up to the climax. And
right.
and I'll make something else up. They could have done a better job, but I'm just making things up. Well, because they had to make sure that he wouldn't, that the animus wouldn't kill him right away. So they had to test him a couple of times. He has to go in, you know, they can't just, because if they tried to put him right at the point that they wanted, what if he didn't survive it? And then their last hope for finding out where Adam's apple was, would have been lost in time forever. So that's my thing that I'm totally making up. That's what
okay.
I feel.
Yeah,
okay.
And I would counter that.
uh-huh.
By saying the point where they find out where the Eden's apple is,
yeah.
there was no violence. He was sitting in a chair and was like, here's the apple.
Wait. What are you talking about? There was no violence. What?
When he is on the ship and he gives
the
apple to Christopher
Columbus.
Oh,
I see what you're saying. Yes, that's true.
He's not
that's
being
true.
Pursued. There
right.
wasn't a fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe.
Sitting there.
Well, maybe the animus is driven
okay.
by. Maybe
uh-huh.
they have to. Maybe they have to go to an action-packed moment because those are the memories that are brightest in your DNA, and so you have to drop
right.
into the violent moment first and before you can't just go to calmer moments. Like you have to be the DNA.
Yeah, really?
Right. Okay. So right. So just making things up here. I'm just making them
yeah.
up. I'm just making them up. Okay. Now, do you remember the other point you were going to make before I interjected my nonsense rationing?
Yes. A couple of other things I felt were silly were,
okay,
so they call this like bleeding where he's in the present, but he still is getting like glimpses of his ancestor.
Right.
All of those
mm-hmm.
sequences where Michael Fassbender is like shadow boxing by himself in this like super
okay.
cliched sci-fi bear room in his
yeah.
little, you know, his
mm-hmm.
slippers or whatever was ridiculous. It's ridiculous and unnecessary. Why would he be doing that?
Mm-hmm.
He just feels compelled to start shadow boxing.
Because
okay.
Because well, he doesn't just feel compelled. His ancestors' memories were bleeding into the present, and it's a very powerful memory that he has to shadow box with. I mean, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just saying
yeah,
it looked ridiculous.
It looked ridiculous. Okay, it looked ridiculous, the shadow boxing. Okay. All right. And then, so is there anything else?
No. No.
Okay. Those are the things mm-hmm. that kind of stuck out for you.
I guess
I agree with those. I mean, I think put together. I mean, was the problem for you? I mean, could they have been put together better so it would have been less silly looking or a little bit more plausible? I mean, because the whole idea of being able to, you know, build a machine that taps into your ancestors' DNA and then drops you in, I mean, it's pretty far-fetched, right? But, you know, as sci-fi fantasy fans, couldn't the argument be made that, well, there's a lot of things about sci-fi fantasy that are far-fetched. So what about this didn't make this work? It was just that the execution, you feel like, or the whole idea of that? It was just, you couldn't wrap your head. It was, like, stupid to you.
I guess I would say the execution, you know, maybe okay. The, you know, whether it was, I don't know, was the script, direction, maybe. That, you know, that could have been tweaked so that was all a little bit more believable. Or yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, like the whole idea, the idea of being able to tap into your ancestors' memories, I thought was a cool one. It's an interesting concept. But yeah, I guess I would agree. There were some moments. I'll tell you what bothered me is when they'd be in the middle of the action in the past, and then all of a sudden they would flash to Michael Fassbender in the arm of the Animus. I don't know. I didn't understand why they were doing that because, it took me out of my immersion almost. It was like I was enjoying the action of the past. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I guess they were doing that to try and remind us, you know, connect the two. But
right.
I don't know if they could have done that better or if maybe they didn't have to do it as many times because it was annoying me. That was annoying to me. It's like you're taking me out of this fun, you know, the past, you know, the Spanish, you know, Inquisition, 1492, this looks all cool. And then all of a sudden I see Michael Fassbender in his slipper socks and an arm twirling around. It was jarring to me and not maybe the best use of time, or it could have been done differently. Yeah, so that was not so good. Let me see what else. Let me say about this before we move on to Passengers. And let me ask you this. Do you want to go ahead and rate this and then move on to Passengers, or should we wait till the end to rate both?
Yeah, we can. I'd say let's wait till the end and rate both.
Okay. Because we've got about 26 minutes left. was there anything else that you feel needed to be said about this before we move on to Passengers?
Yeah, just my only other kind of complaint would be I felt like the tension between Marion Cotillard's character and her father, Jeremy Irons, seemed very manufactured and not, again, sure what the disconnect was. All of a sudden, you know, she's very betrayed her. It was so she does. I mean, right? Or she understands the point of them trying to get an apple. Why, like, infuriated and feeling betrayed by her father?
Okay. So I missed that because the sound was really bad. Like every other word I heard. So last thing I heard was you thought that Marion Cotillard's tension with her father was not good. You didn't believe it.
No, she's probably the nicest. So she understands. It seemed like I didn't understand the betrayal. She felt betrayed by Jeremy Irons at the end. But it's kind of like, what was the surprise?
Did she feel, I don't remember her feeling betrayed by Jeremy Irons. She felt betrayed.
She was, Yeah, she was angry at him at the end of the film. She said something like, you lied to me, or this isn't what was supposed to happen, or something like that. And I was like, I didn't understand.
Because he wanted to destroy the assassins, and that's what she was angry about. She wasn't there to destroy them. I don't know.
Okay. I didn't understand where the conflict was. I didn't understand what she was angry about.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it was. Is that she was like, it wasn't my intention, to destroy or kill people. And then here's the thing, staying on Marion Cotillard, they could have made that clearer, what was the betrayal about, but then they did you catch this at the end when, Fassbender was seeing Deathly Hallows Part 2 moment where the ghosts were around him, I guess different assassins or whatever. And then that assassin, presumably, she looked just like Cotillard. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
You did?
I did. Yeah.
You
but,
did catch it. So
yeah, I saw.
Were they trying to say that she also was an assassin and that, that's why she has this conflict? Like, okay, so she's her father's daughter, but, presumably part of the Templars, but, not really. Like, her DNA is really she's an assassin. I felt it was very, they threw that in there, and then at the very end, she's upset with him because he's going to destroy the... Yeah, it wasn't well... Like, the tension wasn't well... written and thought out, so that you wouldn't be confused and you wouldn't be trying to figure out, well, what is the tension? Because, like you said, presumably, if she's part of the Templars, there's no confusing what their goal is, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I didn't feel confused at all by what the Templars' goal was. Like, they and the assassins have been like mortal enemies since the beginning of both things. So why is she confused or feeling betrayed in the end? She knows good and damn well. Unless she didn't realize her father's part of the Templars, but that's not true, because wasn't she talking to that high priestess or whatever? Like, she knew who she was when they were in Columbus's tomb or whatever.
She wasn't confused. No.
I didn't really understand her character. I didn't understand. And I'm looking at her, and all I'm thinking about is... I'm thinking about a couple of things. I'm thinking about Inception. Her character in Inception. And I'm thinking about her character in Dark Knight Rises. And I'm like, this is a heifer that's going to get you killed. You can't trust her. She's never a good guy in anything. So that's what I'm thinking. But then, like I said, at the end, they throw in that character that looks like her, who was an assassin. So you're thinking, oh, well, maybe she's not. Maybe she's not going to be a bad guy in this. Maybe there's some conflict. But I don't know. Like you said, it was just confusing. It's confusing. Okay. So let's move on to Passengers. So do you want to give a summary of what the heck this was about?
Sure. Passengers, I'll say it first, was directed by Morten Tilbom. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Who just did The Imitation Game. That's probably what he's, most... known for, written by a gentleman named John Splates, I think. And it's basically Chris Pratt plays an engineer who is on board a vessel headed to a colony world in the future, 5,000 passengers on board in hibernation. The journey to this new planet, Homestead 2, is going to take, 100 years or so. And he wakes up early. He wakes up about 90 years too early. And he tries to, there's going to be spoilers here. He tries several means of kind of like rectify the situation, going back to sleep, sending a message to the company. And when all that fails, he decides, I'm going to wake up another passenger so that I don't go crazy. And so he decides to wake up Jennifer Lawrence's character, Aurora, who plays a writer from New York, who's the daughter of a Pulitzer Prize winner. And their only companion on the ship is a robot played by Michael Sheen. And in the course of like getting to know one another, this little romance develops, and then their lives are in peril when the ship starts to break down, and they have to try to repair the ship and save themselves and the 5,000 other passengers.
Okay. So same as with Assassin's Creed, I guess I'll start talking about what I thought, if this lived up to my poor expectations or my good expectations. I'll say this was sort of a flip-flop for me. Early on, when I heard about a sci-fi movie coming out around Christmas with two actors that I liked, I was excited. Then I started seeing more trailers and realizing that it was not really an action adventure. It was more like a romance. And I immediately was not excited. It's like, this is I'm not going to be interested in this. And it unfortunately lived up to my negative expectations. The romance, let me see how I could say this, was just annoying. It was annoying. And I think perhaps it was because it just played into a lot of like silly sort of stereotypes. There was no real reason for me to root for these two people to get together. It was kind of creepy in a way. Stalking this chick, and then he basically, delivers a death sentence by waking her up early. And I just never rooted for the two of these people. And that was the core of the film, was, you have to root for this couple to survive all the stuff that's happening. But I just didn't, to me, it might have been a better film with just Chris Pratt or... Maybe not having any romance, or maybe casting different people. I mean, and that's not to say, like I said, from Jump Street, I like both of these actors. But this is not, this was no good. This was not, I feel very strongly going in that they probably should have cast someone else besides Jennifer Lawrence in this. I mean, I would like to see something a little bit more interesting and something a little less obvious. You get these two, pretty people. Like, really? I just wasn't interested. I wasn't interested. I didn't care. I was rolling my eyes nine times out of ten. There's no bueno. No bueno. So that was really the big failure for me. It was not an action adventure. It was this like romance, supposed to be stuck inside this sci-fi adventure.
Right.
Nothing for the romance at all. So that by the time the sci-fi adventure stuff kicked in, I was totally checked out. I was totally checked out. So that was a big, big failure for me of this film. What about for you? Did it live up to negatives or positives?
Yeah, I really didn't like this. And the same as you, I was not looking forward to it by the time the release date came around. The very first, when like we first heard about it, I was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. I like you said, I like Jennifer Lawrence. I like Chris Pratt. I was like, oh, they're doing a big sci-fi thing. Oh, okay. And the closer it got and the more they showed, I was like, uh-oh. And for me, I did not like this. I thought everything that had to do with the romance was cliched and uninteresting, but just the worst kind of like, do you trust me?
Yeah.
And then, you know, close up on Jennifer. Okay. And then, you know, well, it took you long enough to ask, you know, when they're going on their date, the word trite, uninteresting kind of love story, basically.
Yeah.
And it was, I was bored. I was bored out of my mind. The conflicts should have come, it should have moved much quicker. Like, it was a romance. Like, they should have, it was just a romance. It had nothing, and it wasn't even a very good romance on top of that.
Right. No.
So, you know, there was only one, and then, like, there was only one major, you know, problem with the relationship, and that's that he woke her up, and then that was very quite cut and dry the way they handled that, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for me. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, when I was coming out of this thinking about it, I mean, the strongest part of this film for me, and you might feel differently, was I loved the look of the sci-fi stuff. I really enjoyed the way the ship looked and the whole thing. Like, you're on this, you know, it's a wagon train to space, you know, the idea. Yeah. These colonists, and we're hibernating to get to this place far off, Earth 2. I'm calling it Earth 2. That's not what it was called. But I loved all this, the way that it looked in the pods and the pool and the mess hall and the main, you know, I loved that. I was like, man, you know, it's too bad, you know, if I could live long enough for us to get to this for doing this, I love the way that all looks. It was just that, unfortunately, the core thing, like you said, like the romance, these people, just was not executed well at all. Everything like super, super trite. They could have made it more interesting. I'll say it again, quite honestly, just casting differently. You know, maybe instead of having two supremely attractive people. Maybe one person, you know, not so symmetrical. Have a little asymmetry, just a little bit to make it interesting and their romance not be so obvious and inevitable. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I personally would have preferred Jennifer Lawrence's character be someone older. Cast somebody older, an actress who, you know, their years of experience would come through in like every line, you know. So, not one second. She was a Barbie doll. She was like vapid. I'm a writer and my dad was a writer. Like, whatever. Like, really? I don't believe you. You're not no damn writer. When did you start writing? When you were 5? Get out of town. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe let the female lead and the male lead, you know, not be so starry-eyed for each other. Have some conflict. Let us watch them fall in love in like this interesting way, you know?
Yeah.
Let them, you know, bang heads, you know, like be at odds. And then somehow, some way, you know, the tension builds and you're enjoying that. But this, like having Barbie dolls on a ship, like I was completely uninterested.
Yeah.
Completely.
Me too. Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. You know, I was sitting watching it, and it's bad when you're watching one film and you start thinking of other films that do a much better job of like one thing or another. And you're like, okay, I just want to go home and watch this. You know what I was thinking about? Gravity. And I want to watch Gravity. Because, I mean, there was no romance. But in terms of building tension and the characters you were interested and rooting for, just so well done. So well done. Yeah. And it's, you know, so well done. And that's all I was thinking. I was like, I'm done. Like about... Yeah. I don't know. I guess for me, at what point was it for you? I guess for me, when he started getting all dreamy about Jennifer
Waking
Lawrence.
Her up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I checked out. Yeah, everything up to that point. Everything up to that point was not awful. You know, he had his castaway, you know, the first 10, 15 minutes. That wasn't awful. It wasn't awful. But then as soon as he started getting starry-eyed about her, I was like, I'm done. I'm done. Was there anything... Well, I mentioned one positive. I mentioned the look. Everything that didn't have anything to do with the characters. For me, was a positive. Yeah. Were there any... positives for you?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the production design was cool. That was basically it. Because the plot, it's like, if you're not going to have a compelling story, I didn't find the story very compelling. And the basic, just the plot, like stuff that happens, was not interesting. And I don't know if this was just, I imagined this, but I thought that there was going to be something with the company that sent them. I thought that Chris Pratt maybe had been woken up intentionally. I didn't know it was just going to be, oh, they went through a meteor shower and that's what caused all these problems, you know?
You're right.
How basic and simple, if that's going to be the case, then you need to like really, really amp up character development and making that love story compelling, because if it's going to be like a really basic plot, then the story has to be interesting, the story of the characters, and it failed on both of those fronts. And it wasn't, they didn't even let Chris Pratt be funny, you know what I mean? Like, what was the point? I'm just like, when am I going to be able to see him? That's what he does. That's a very rare thing that you find, like a big, like hulking action hero looking kind of guy that can be funny.
Yeah.
So let him do that. They didn't even give him room to do that.
No.
So I was just very disappointed.
It was very disappointing. And, you know, and it makes me think, when you mentioned the thing about thinking that maybe you thought that from trailers, there was a twist to the story, in that it wasn't just an asteroid field, that the company actually woke him up. I'm wondering what other versions of this are out there. Like, I'm wondering if there was a more, you know, their suggestion was, you know, to cast a little bit differently, or there was a different take or different twist on the story that they wanted to do, and some, you know, suit, you know, was like, no.
Yeah, that's not going to.
Pretty people in there, and that's too complicated. I don't like, you know, it makes me wonder, because I'm confused. I'm confused, quite frankly, by the choices that ended up on screen. I'm just confused. Mm-hmm. I'm confused and I'm annoyed. Okay, so was there anything else that you wanted to add about either one of these before we move to ratings?
No. Well, okay, yeah, I'll just say this. This is a little thing about Passengers.
Yeah.
I didn't like how it was completely arbitrary, the things that he was able to, fix on the ship, manipulate,
yes.
And then
some
things he seemed to have no control over. Like, he couldn't get into the crew quarters. He couldn't even upgrade, his little ID bracelet so that he could get a latte instead of a regular coffee. But he managed to break into this, super expensive-looking suite. And he managed to access, the ship's PA system. It just was so that was my last little critique.
And just to add on to that sort of also, this will be adding on to not enjoying the characters and what we mentioned before about things being cliche and trite. Why was it that we had an engineer, he's a man who wakes up, and then the female who gets woken up is completely useless, basically. She's a writer. Why that to me just made me angry, because you're totally playing these stereotypes of the helpless female and the quasi helpful or useful male, because like you said, he wasn't totally useful. He could only do certain things, and then other things he's powerless. It really ticked me off. It really pissed. I mean, it's 2016. Let's get it together, people. let's maybe not do that anymore. I don't know. So all right. So rating. I'm gonna start with Assassins. I'm giving Assassins. And I really debated about this. It had one rating in my mind when we left. And then after I saw Passengers, I was like, no, Assassin's Creed was freaking Oscar worthy compared to freaking Passengers. And I'm giving Assassin's Creed 2¾ stars. 2¾.
2¾. Okay.
Because it was fun. I would watch it again if it comes on television. It was just fun. There was some silliness, but it was forgivable because of Fassbender, because of 1492 Spain. So 2¾ for me, Assassin's Creed. What are you giving?
Okay. I'm giving Assassin's Creed a 2.
Okay. All right.
Because I'll say it didn't get 0 because I wasn't expecting too much of it. I mean, it was a video game movie, and the action sequences lived up to my expectations. They were very cool. But in terms of just, the plot and what happened, super silly. And probably, I would just wait for it to come on TNT. So I'm giving it 2.
Did you say you would or would not watch it on TNT?
I'd watch it on TNT.
Okay. Okay, so Passengers for me is getting 1.5 stars. And the reason it's getting 1.5 is because I really liked the spaceship. So 1.5. If it wasn't for that spaceship, I might have gotten 0.5 star. What are you giving this?
Yeah, I'm giving it 1.5. I knew that it had to be lower than Assassin's Creed, because at least, I smiled a few times at Assassin's Creed. I thought, oh, that was cool. Passenger, this was not for me. I really did not enjoy this. And again, I'll give it a 1.5 because, you could tell they spent a lot of money on it,
Yes.
All the sci-fi stuff looked great.
Fabulous. I would sign up to be on that ship in a heartbeat. I would. Okay. So that is going to do it for this special edition of Black Geek Movie Talk. We're going to be back Friday, the 30th, talking about the year in review. Then we'll see you then. At 1:30.